Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. Stop it! Stop it, I said. Well, more noise and horsing around was going on in the back seat, see? Here we are, we're driving, going up from this time in our lives. Don and I, we had two children, and we were going to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and we were living in Arkansas at the time, driving up to Kansas City, and so lots of noise, horsing around, going in the back seat, so I'm telling them, stop it! I'd only stop for so long, all right? And so I told them, it's like, well, you know, if you don't stop it, I'm going to pull over. Well, that kind of stopped for about, 5 minutes or so, and when you got two children, I have four now, but I had two at the time, and it's like, well, those two, they're sitting back there, and there's only so much that they can do before they have to start pestering each other, right? You know, I'm hearing things like, she's looking at me! He touched me! Really? You know? So, if you get 5 minutes without anything going on, you're a happy camper, and so finally it's going on, it's like, I don't stop it, I'm pulling over. I pulled over. I got out of the car. They stopped. They're staring at Dad as he's walking around the car, opening the side door. And I disciplined my children right there on the side of the highway. Now, funny thing is, a few years later, my congregation in Kansas, sometimes Donna, when she'd either have to travel over the weekend with her job, or maybe sometimes there was one of the four kids was sick, and so she had to stay home. And what she'd do is she'd just bring the other three, drop them off at church, and they'd sit there in the pew. And people would come up to me after the service, and it's like, what's your secret? I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, your kids behave great in the pew. What's your secret? And that's one word, consistency. So one thing Don and I did is that if we told our kids that if they did something and there was going to be a consequence, that if we said it was going to happen, we followed through with it every time. You see, if you don't do that, though, what does that teach your kids? Because if you tell your kids, it's like, if you don't stop this, then I'm going to do this, and you don't do the whatever it is, whether it's a timeout or however you discipline your kids, it doesn't matter, okay? If you don't follow through, then you're teaching them not to trust your word, because what you say, you're not going to do. But if you follow through with it, though, and if you do follow through with it each and every time, then they begin to learn to trust what you say. Now, that's exactly what we have in our gospel reading today. Not talking about situation disciplining your child, but rather God keeping his word. And what does that mean for us as God's children? Well, we trust what he says. Now, how does God do it this time? Well, so we look at our gospel reading for today. It's that old familiar story there, right? God sends the angel Gabriel to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, start off with there, of the house of David, as in King David. We can go back to our Old Testament lesson for today and then look at that and see how God was telling the prophet Nathan, this is what I want you to go and tell David. He says this, now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. God says that he has made David prince over all of Israel. Now you might think offhand, it's like, well, why not king? It's like, well, no, God is king. So anybody that he puts in charge there over his people then would be a prince. See, the people at the time got tired of having the judges rule over them. They did that for years and years and stuff, but the people of Israel, well, they wanted to have a king because everybody else has one. So God gave him one, Saul. And they all knew how that turned out so well, and then he brought in David, someone who was better. So what did the angel then say about David to Mary? And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And the angel Gabriel tells Mary all of this. It's like, all right, hey, you're going to have a son, okay? And he's going to be called Son of the Most High God. Now, that's an important part to remember here, because the Most High God, all right? The Jews, that's what they called the Lord. Now, why did they call him that? Well, all the other peoples had their own gods there, and so, yeah, they're fine. But the Jews there were telling him, it's like, no, our God is the Most High God, meaning he's over everybody else's gods. There's nobody higher than ours. So it's important then, as the angel Gabriel's telling Mary here, your son will be called Son of the Most High God. And that's important.
And
what's going to happen then? Well, God is going to give him the throne of his father David. Therein lies our connection. And so what's so important about that? Well, we go back to our Old Testament lesson there. What did God say? "Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Now, what God was saying to David here, it's like, hey, I'm going to make you a house. It's not like something that we're living out here in Hicksville or down the parsonage there. When he's talking about a house, he's talking about a dynasty, all right, that he will have descendants who will continue to be king over Israel. Now, how long is this going to last? Well, not just for one or two or three or five or six generations, but it's going to last forever. Now, that's a little tidbit that's going on here, that this child of hers will be a king and that he will reign forever. You see, all of this connection here going on is God keeping his word. And there's another little tidbit that slipped in there. He talks about how David is of the house of Jacob. Now, David is the house of Jacob. And again, who is Jacob? Well, Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. And what did God promise Abraham? Well, you go back to Genesis chapter 12. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I will make for you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Well, God made a promise with Abraham that "I will make you a nation." And indeed, that happened. God kept his word. And then he also said that all peoples will be blessed through you. One will come that everyone will be blessed by him. Now hold on to that thought for just a moment. Now, of course, Mary here, going back to her, she has a reasonable question there to ask the angel. It's like, Mr. Angel there, how's this going to happen here, right? I'm just betrothed to Joseph. Nothing's happened yet, okay? I'm still a virgin. How's this going to happen? Well, God's truly amazing. God's not going to let that get in the way. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is in the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." You see, all of this gospel reading here, it's all about trust. God saying that he's going to do something, and he does it. God promises his word to David, and he kept it. A descendant is going to be on the throne. Now, that's a promise that Abraham, that all people would be blessed by the one that is going to be the son here. What is his name? Mary's to name her son Jesus, because Jesus will save his people from their sins, his children from their sins. It's kind of funny how it always gets back to sins, does it not? Their sins, our sins. You know, we are the children of God that keep getting into trouble. You know, we've been told time and again, stop it! Well, when God pulls over to take care of sins, well, there's only one punishment for that. If you sin once, the punishment is death. We deserve to be disciplined. But God has provided a way out. A way out so that we wouldn't die. And we know that it was Jesus who did it. It's through his death on the cross, earning forgiveness of our sins, rising from the grave alive, giving us hope. God said that all people would be blessed. All people would indeed be blessed if they believe in Jesus Christ. Trouble is not everyone does, nor have they. But the important thing for us to remember this morning as Christians is that God has kept his word. He sent Jesus, sent us a Savior, and we celebrate his birth tonight and tomorrow. And so if God's word is true about this, then all the other blessings that he gives his children will be kept as well. You know, it's interesting, over all the years that Don and I have been parents, we only pulled over on the side of the road one time. That's all it took. Rachel's chuckling over here. Anyway, my daughter's here today. She may not remember that or not, but anyway, only happened one time. Because the younger ones who came along, it's like, you know, if Dad said he's going to pull over, all they had to do is like, yeah, sure, right. And he's like, no, he did. Okay. What made the difference? We were consistent, followed through with what we said. And that's what we need to leave here today. We need to leave here today remembering that we have a God who keeps his word. He said that he would do something, and he did. Not just once, but time and time again. Over and over, God kept his word. He said that he would send a Savior, and indeed he did. He died on the cross, earning forgiveness of sins, and rose from the grave alive, again giving us hope. You see, that's the promise that has been given to us. Promise that was made individually with us in our baptisms, where God came to you personally and said, you're mine, you're forgiven, you're going to be with me in heaven. And so just as God kept his word all along, so that promise that's made personal with us in our baptisms is true as well. And it is kept. And so what does that leave with us then? We can leave here today with confidence, knowing that we have a God who loves us, who keeps his word, not just for today, but for tomorrow and forever. That's the gift that we receive through Jesus Christ our Lord. Merry Christmas. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise now as we